Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. 5 stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis. He is the Latin American Research Professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Colombia is in election mode. The present president, Iván Duque, is term limited, and so therefore there will be a new president come next spring. However, Iván Duque is receiving attention here in North America because of the troubles in Colombia these last weeks and months. The pandemic, yes, but also urban disorder, challenges to the administration, challenges in Bogota and Medellin and Cali and other large cities, also challenges along the border with Venezuela. Professor, first about Iván Duque. The New York Times profile suggests that he's a technocrat who likes to be liked, and that has not served him well. There was a bullet hole in his helicopter some weeks ago when he visited the border area with Venezuela, where there have been so-called terrorist incidents that are connected to long-standing narco-terrorist gangs, the FARC, the ELN. But has Duque disappointed? Did he have, were there great expectations when he came into office and he's not lived up to the hopes?
It's a great question, John. First of all, when Duque came in, he came in propelled by a sense of frustration that the previous government had made too many concessions and had made too many bad deals as part of the 2016 peace accords. And in reality, that was the start of things because those accords did not fully take the FARC off of the battlefield. They left several thousand, a number which has now grown, FARC dissidents who were involved in the border regions. There was a sense that the mechanisms for transitional justice were not respectful of Colombia's actually relatively strong judicial system. There was a sense that too much money had been given to the development subsidy of areas that members of the FARC, now as a political party, were brought in ways that they never would have been able to achieve at the ballot box. In short, there's a lot of frustration that led Duque to come in. Duque was very closely affiliated with, of course, a very popular strongman, Álvaro Uribe, but Duque's personality was never quite as strong. He had some interesting concepts like leveraging Colombia's vibrant creative economy, the famous orange economy. But what happened is that as the costs of peace began to set in, as the problems of over 2 million Venezuelan refugees flooding into Colombia became apparent, as the takeoff of Colombia's narco economy and now COVID really all hit, the bad things that began to happen for reasons really not entirely of Duque's making, he began to look like a relatively inept responder to that. And so it was really not of Duque's making, but his response has not won him any confidence. And so his popularity, as things have gotten worse in Colombia, has just plummeted.
The mystery for me, when I read from the outside, is there an outside hand here who's driving the turmoil and the terrorism and the, I understand the cocoa fields, the fields of cocaine are bigger than ever, and the narco-terrorism has returned enormously from these last years. Is there an outside hand? And I'm looking at Caracas.
Absolutely. I would say, John, there are multiple outside hands. And really, Colombia has suffered difficulties of just really almost biblical proportions. Again, the pressure is coming from the Venezuelans who have fled largely through Cucuta, but really spread themselves throughout the country now, about 2 million in Colombia. In addition to, as you pointed before, the narco economy, as the narco economy has taken off, again, with the end of the ability to do aerial spraying, you've seen about a five-fold increase in cocoa under production, which, again, China's put even more narco money into the economy. You've seen the fragmentation of groups like the Gulf Clan splintering into others, such as the Caparapos. So you have all of these things that are happening, and including if you look at the difficulties with COVID-19, which have forced spending, which has really financially broken the Colombian government. But you're right that in the midst of all those problems, you see multiple hands of Caracas. One of those certainly is evidence that the ELN and others have gotten involved in what was otherwise peaceful demonstrations and have made them worse. Number two, the fact that for a long time, even before this government, that the groups such as the FARC dissidents, people like Gentil Duarte, the ELN were able to have refuge and hide their things in Venezuela. And you see that some of the cross-border violence in places like Arauca and Apure it also has Caracas' hands. But from the very beginning, even the protest movement, some evidence that both the Cubans and the other Bolivarians coming from Caracas have also been actively involved in looking for opportunities to stir things up with this ally of the United States.
We have a minute, Professor. The Biden administration, does it yet have a policy towards Colombia that's different from the Trump administration or the Obama administration? We have less than a minute.
The Biden administration has certainly chosen to continue our strong relationship with Colombia, recognizing its historical importance. They have changed the style a bit. They've arguably become more attentive to accusations of abuses by the by Colombian police, the ESMAD, Colombian security forces. They become more attentive to violence in the countryside. And so in many ways, it is a tense, less close relationship than we had before. But there's a fundamental continuity in recognizing Colombia's importance and continuing support.
Professor Evan Ellis, he is the Latin American Research Professor, the United States Army War College, the Strategic Studies Institute, the New World. It's all one. North America, South America, Central America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Law 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.